Good evening, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Pamela Varconi, your host this evening. On tonight's program, we're going to explore the history, legacy, and global impact of Pearl S. Buck International, an organization dedicated to uniting nations, societies, communities, and individuals with an appreciation for cultural differences and a commitment to service. Founded by author and humanitarian Pearl S. Buck, the organization that bears her name is a living legacy dedicated to improving the lives of others, especially children. It is a legacy carried on by the work and passion of those who want to make the world a better place. Joining me this evening here in the studio to discuss that legacy and the current work of Pearl S. Buck International is President and CEO Janet Mincer and Chief Marketing Officer Linda Bishop. Welcome, Janet and Linda.
Thank you.
Hi, glad to be here.
We're very glad to have you here. Joining us later in the program will be Gina Rubel, a Doylestown attorney who recently returned from a Pearl S. Buck International cultural tour to the Philippines, where she visited the child that she is sponsoring. And in the third segment, Julie Henning, a retired Sauterston School District teacher who is the last of Pearl Buck's children to have lived with her and who remains dedicated to her mother's mission. And I want to welcome our WDIY listeners this evening. I would venture to say that many of you out there may not be aware that just south of the Lehigh Valley, about halfway between Quakertown and Doylestown, in the beautiful rolling country of Bucks County, is the Pearl S. Buck Estate, headquarters of Pearl S. Buck International and a designated National Historic Landmark home. Janet, tell us a little bit about the estate and the role it plays in the organization.
Sure. Well, Pearl Buck lived in the Green Hills Farm, which is what the estate is called, the second 40 years of her life. She lived in China the first 40 years of her life. When she passed away in 1973, she left this beautiful 67-acre estate to the organization she founded, Pearl S. Buck International, formerly Pearl S. Buck Foundation. And there we are every day offering tours of her beautiful home, continuing her legacy of helping children around the world through child sponsorship, and also offering an array of cultural programs so that local students, children, workers in the workforce understand and appreciate diversity and differences.
She had a very interesting life story and a very interesting history. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
I think it all started with her 40 years in China. Inside, she felt Chinese. Mandarin was her first language. Here she was, blonde hair, blue eyes, walking the streets of China. She was a minority. She knew what it felt like to be different, to look different. In fact, she asked her ama to tuck her blonde hair under a black cap so it didn't stick out so much. So when she came to live in the United States in 1934, when racism in our country was alive and well, she was appalled because she knew what it felt like to be a minority. And she did everything that she could as an activist to fight discrimination in our country. Walter White, who was head of the NAACP at the time, credited Pearl Buck and Eleanor Roosevelt as two white women in our country at the time who understood the plight of blacks in our country. So she was an activist, I think, first when she first came to our country, also an author, a famous author, Nobel Pulitzer Prize winning author. And then her activism turned into humanitarianism when she started developing programs that could help children who face discrimination.
It's a fascinating story, and she was a fascinating woman. Linda, you were involved with Pearl S. Buck International as a volunteer before you joined the organization in a leadership position. You served as chair of the Woman of Influence Award Dinner. And this seems like an appropriate time for full disclosure that I am humbled and honored to be the recipient of the 2017 Woman of Influence Award. which was presented to me on May 4th at the estate, and which we will also be celebrating here in the Lehigh Valley on May 17. And tickets are available for that event at pearlsbuck.org/Lehigh Valley Celebration. Linda, how did the Women of Influence Award become an important part of the organization?
Well, we wanted to recognize other women who have the same values and vision that Pearl Buck had. And so, Pamela, congratulations. And you are among a very prestigious group of women, including Laura Bush and Hillary Clinton, as a matter of fact. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
So we wanted to recognize women that were doing the same thing and celebrate them. And we wanted the community to celebrate along with us. And, of course, that brings people to the estate, and it brings visibility to Pearl Buck, and we keep her story alive.
I think that's very important because she was certainly a woman ahead of her time. And the efforts that she started have kind of morphed over the years to fit a little bit more into our modern version of humanitarian work. I do want to mention that that Pearl S. Buck International is ranked in the top five fiscally efficient child sponsorship organizations by U.S. Charity Watch and has a gold rating with GuideStar. So I think that's very important for people to know when they're thinking about what organization they're going to support and where they're going to put their dollars, that they can support Pearl S. Buck International with great confidence that the money is going to where it's supposed to go. I think it's important for the audience to know that Pearl S. Buck started really focusing on children, Amerasian children, who were really highly discriminated against in their country. And I think that that was particularly true in countries where we had a lot of American presence, American bases. I know that in the Vietnam War, there were a lot of Amerasian children left behind. And when I was doing my research, the statistics that I found said that when the U.S. bases closed in the Philippines in 1992, 50,000 Amerasian children were left behind in the Philippines. So talk a little bit about that work that you're doing with child sponsorship and helping children get educated.
Sure. It actually is really interesting the way it all started. It started because Pearl Buck was concerned about children in the United States who were considered unadoptable because they were mixed race. So it originally didn't start with the Amerasian child, although it morphed into that.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1949, if you were mixed race, you were considered unadoptable and you would live your life in an orphanage. Being the human rights advocate that Pearl Buck was when she realized this, and also because she was an adoptive mother herself, she started the first adoption agency in our country that just focused on the adoption of these children. So she's credited today for breaking racial boundaries and barriers in adoption. But then soon after people started adopting and accepting these children, there was this great problem in Korea, is where it started, after the Korean War. Children born of American servicemen and Korean women actually had no chance for an education or a life in Korea. And so the board of directors started focusing on how they could bring their children back for adoption from Korea. And so they started doing just that. And by the early 1960s, Pearl Buck went to Korea and she realized some of these women just do not want to give their children up for adoption. They want to keep their children, even though they cannot get an education, couldn't register for school because they didn't have a father, so they didn't have citizenship in Korea.
Wow.
And they couldn't get the proper nutrition or anything that they needed, but the mothers were still trying desperately to raise them. So that's when Pearl Buck started the Pearl Buck Foundation in 1964 with the sole purpose of helping these children stay in the countries with their parents, but to ensure that they got an education and the basic care that they needed. So the way she funded it was through child sponsorship. Back then, it was like $15 a month. You sponsor a child, it paid for their tuition, their book supplies, and so forth. Now we do the same program. It's $30 a month, but we still focus on children who face discrimination because of the circumstances of their birth.
Mm-hmm.
After Pearl Buck started the program in Korea, She moved to other countries where there are American servicemen, the Philippines, Thailand, Taiwan, Vietnam, and continued doing child sponsorship. So when she passed away in 1973, she left her home to that organization, hoping that those programs would continue to make a difference to the lives of these children. So we're really proud. We still work in the same countries that Pearl Buck started. We're helping children every day, really changing lives. And I don't mean just one child's life. I mean generations of lives. And I could tell you lots of stories about the lives and the experiences that I've had when I visited the overseas offices and the conditions that children live in, which would really, truly shock most Americans.
Mm-hmm. Linda, as the chief marketing officer, how do you find Americans when they're approached to support this program and support these children overseas? Is it a pretty easy sell, to use kind of a cliche?
Well, it's getting easier, but we certainly need more visibility. We need to get the name out and we need to get the word out. Each person can make a huge difference. And like Janet said, it can be a generational difference.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've seen as an organization is parents today are looking for ways to make their children global citizens, to expose them to other cultures and other countries. So I had one of my child sponsors said, I pay hundreds of dollars for my children to take violin lessons, go to baseball camp and do all of these things. But for $30 a month, I can give them a true cultural and humanitarian experience where they can learn that they can make a difference in the life of this child. He said, I don't know why everyone doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm. I would think it would make also a wonderful, like, grandparent present to a grandchild, you know, something that you could share and learn and grow with them. I know that that Pearl S. Buck International has several other efforts underway beside child sponsorship within the organization, and one of them is Welcome Workplace, Intercultural Competency and Training. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that certainly is part of her original mission,
is
to get the word out there.
Well, Pearl Buck wrote most of her books were about other cultures, and she worked diligently to bring an exposure to the Western world of the Chinese culture. And so today we're continuing that legacy by building programs that increase and enhance the intercultural competence of employees in the workplace and people in the community. We just had a wonderful public program this past Sunday where we had various people talk about what America means to them. We had a Hungarian immigrant. We had somebody that, you know, an African American, every walk of life. And the stories that they told were just truly moving, because I had one woman say to me afterwards, this program changed my life. And I was taken back. I said, really, how? She said, because she said, in my era when I grew up, we grew up with certain prejudice. She said, if there was a foreigner, I would never talk to a foreigner. They were different than me. She said, today I learned how we're all alike. She said, it truly changed my life. And that's what we're trying to do in a variety of ways through intercultural competency training and programs that we offer in the workplace and in the community.
Yes, you also have a community education arm of that, and that goes out to schools and scout troops and community centers and everything. So if someone is interested in having Pearl S. Buck International come to their scout troop or their school or whatever, they can contact the organization.
We would love the opportunity. We have school groups come and visit the Pearl Buck House on a regular basis. It's a National Historic Landmark home of Pearl Buck. It's a wonderful way to teach young people about an amazing woman who continues to make a difference today.
Mm-hmm. And there's a high school leadership program.
That's our premier program. We have high school students that come and they do an exploration of the countries where we work, and then they develop a service project to meet a need that they identify that's important to that group while learning leadership skills and bonding with people from many different cultures and races. One of the things that I think is really special about Pearl S. Buck International is it's a place where all cultures can come and be together and work together, rather than having the Chinese culture center and the Korean church. This organization represents the opportunity for differences and different people to unite.
Linda, those programs must be very helpful to you in your marketing effort because you're reaching out into the community, and I would presume the parents of those children would be would think very kindly of the Pearl Buck International.
Yes, they do. They really appreciate it, especially in these times. We live in a global economy, and we welcome people from all origins, and we really need to learn about the best of each of us and leverage that. So parents appreciate it. The students appreciate it. The students of the other countries appreciate it. And there's some really strong relationships that develop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's important because if you can build relationships and friendship and understanding, at 10, 12, 15, 18 years old, you're much less likely to be prejudiced towards or get in a fight or start trouble with someone if you know them and you understand them and you've been in their home or you've eaten their food. Mm-hmm. It's just very important to build those relationships.
Right.
And finally, I know, an overview about the organization, I know you have the Pearl S. Buck Writing Center, which of course is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm looking forward to attending very soon.
Wonderful.
Yes, I'm going to be attending the Writing Center, really looking forward to that. So talk a little bit about that, because that certainly was a big part of her legacy.
Writing was a big part of her legacy, and we're very pleased that it's been a need, I think, in the area to mm-hmm. have a writing center.
Yes.
So we offer an array of activities like write a book a year, short stories, poems, many different opportunities for writers to come. We have outstanding facilitators, instructors of our classes, excellent reviews and evaluations after every one of our classes. And we also have a book club discussion every month where we discuss another book that Pearl Buck wrote. She wrote over 80 published books, fiction, nonfiction, children's books, autobiographies, and she is an amazing woman, and there's a lot that we can still learn from her writing. One of the things that I used to say, Pearl Buck was a woman ahead of her times. And one time someone said to me, you know what, she's a woman ahead of our times too. And I reflected on that, and I said, you're right. And that's my new term, because when I read her writings, it's almost like she's standing in the room mm-hmm. saying it right now. It's so relevant.
Mm-hmm. I remember her essays in Life magazine. She used to write regularly for Life magazine, and we would always look for her essays. And, of course, this is probably a good opportunity to segue into the fact that our family knew her and lived not too far from the estate. And we certainly weren't friends, but we did know her, and she was always seen out and about in the community, often with her children. She and my mother were on, speaking terms. They would greet each other when they ran into each other in the grocery store. And one of my fondest childhood memories is our scout troop modeling for one of the charity fashion shows in the barn. She was really a local celebrity, but still very down to earth and very approachable, and always surrounded by other people, and always reaching out, and very, very approachable. So in summary for this segment, we have about a minute left before we go to break. I think it's important for the community to know that there is so much for them to access at Pearl S. Buck International. They can come and they can tour the beautiful estate and learn about her life. They can participate in writing programs. They can bring their children. They can have Pearl S. Buck come into their church or community center or scout troop. There's just a wonderful way for the community to interact with her legacy and with the organization. And we certainly hope that the community will take advantage of that and will keep her legacy alive, because she really was a woman ahead of her time and ahead of our time. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll be joined by Doylestown attorney and Pearl S. Buck International child sponsor, Gina Rubel. I'm Pamela Varcone, and you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Pamela Varcone, your host this evening. We are discussing the very important work and mission of Pearl S. Buck International. With me in the studio is President and CEO Janet Mincer and Chief Marketing Officer Linda Bishop. And joining us now by phone is Gina Rubel, whose family has a three-generation history with Pearl Buck personally and with the organization. Welcome, Gina.
Hello there.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, everyone.
Gina, you have a wonderful connection to Pearl Buck. Please tell us about it.
Well, Pam, it's a very interesting connection because my husband's grandmother, Julia Lee Davis, was in a book club with Pearl Buck. And, you know, in times when women, you know, women book clubs were not well known. And it started in my husband's household at a very young age. In fact, from there, my husband's father, Walter Rubel, got very involved with Pearl Buck and became a child sponsor. But even as growing up, my husband would ride his bike on the Pearl S. Buck estate, and my husband's mom played tennis with one of Pearl's daughters. So it's a very long history and one that I was adopted into, as you will, as a member of the Rubel family.
So when you married into that family and became a Pearl Buck aficionado, you started sponsoring children, didn't you?
We did. When my father-in-law was retiring, and he had sponsored children for many years, and his last sponsor child graduated, he asked us if we would be interested in taking on a sponsorship as part of the family legacy. And we were more than happy to do so. And it was a good time for us to do that as well. We were in a place in life where we could comfortably, you know, it's a dollar a day when you think about it. And we were able to say, yes, we can commit to that and be able to help someone else other than our own family.
Well, Gina, tell us a little bit about the young girl that you ended up sponsoring and your involvement with her and what turned into a joint family friendship.
Well, it's interesting. We chose this young girl named Lou Bell when we signed up to become sponsors because she was close in age to our young daughter at the time, maybe 5 or 6. Maybe a little bit older, and they had a lot of the same interests, interests like volleyball, and at the time, they both wanted to become teachers, and everything felt so familiar from her story that it just felt right, and it felt like something that our children could also embrace. So fast forward some years, and we wrote back and forth to one another several times a year. You only get to really know someone so much through letters. But then in 2011, my father passed away. And very soon thereafter, their father passed away. Lubelle's one of the oldest of three children. And I remember writing things like, you'll be okay, you'll live in his memory, things of encouragement, knowing that there he was the sole breadwinner and she was a teenager.
Well, that's difficult. That's difficult in this country, in any culture, to lose the father and the breadwinner of the family. But in those cultures, it's even more difficult.
It's devastating. And then, I mean, it's such a tragic story, but yet it has such a beautiful outcome in that a few years later when Typhoon Haiyan, known there, hit. The town where she lives is called Ormoc. It was a direct hit, and over 8,000 people died.
Mm.
And I remember calling over to Pearl S. Buck International, and one of their vice president, Tony Luna, answered, and I was in tears. And I said, you know, Tony, what are we going to do? Are the kids okay? And I was, you know, in panic. because I was watching it play out on my computer screen live, watching this typhoon hit their village. And, you know, you're watching radar thinking, this is the end. And Pearl S. Buck International mobilized, immediately had a web page up for fundraising, and was able to connect with Pearl S. Buck Philippines, their partner in the Philippines, and to get people into the village to assess the damage, bring needed supplies, and start to rebuild. What a gift that was. 4 or 5 days later, to find out not only was Lubel okay, but her whole family was safe.
Oh my goodness! 8,000 people perished, and her whole family survived. That is amazing.
It really was, but even more so amazing to be able to get that information when their infrastructure was gone. There was no infrastructure. Their school, they didn't go to school for a year. And so, just the resources and how Pearl S. Buck International mobilized for people 9,000 miles away. You know, it's such a powerhouse organization in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that is making a difference globally. And here I got to be a part of that just through this small piece. And the story continues.
Well, do tell us about how the story continues. I happen to know that, but I want to interject here just a moment. Janet, as a CEO, you must be very pleased to hear this story and to know how the organization responded to a tragedy like
this.
Oh,
yes. I remember firsthand when everything played out. Our executive director in the Philippines was immediately on her way there, which, sitting here in my safe little office, I didn't know if that was the best thing for her to take the risk to go there, but she was adamant about it. We have such an outstanding staff overseas and an amazing board of directors in the Philippines, so they all supported her. There she went. She was on the ground with took boxes of supplies and things that the families really needed there. And we found out that Lubella's house was gone, though, wasn't it, Gina?
It was. Everything was gone except the... It's a one-room house. It's very different than what we in America consider a home. But it is a home, nonetheless, and all that was left were the cinder blocks.
Wow. Well, I would think, Linda, when you're talking to people about supporting Pearl S. Buck International, it's stories like this that must really help drive home the mission.
It certainly does, and having people like Gina share those stories, it's very meaningful. It's... personal experience, and it shows how one person can really make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. So, Gina, tell us about how the story continues, because I know that you have actually moved on to another child in that family.
We have. So about a year after that, Pearl S. Buck International asked me to keynote their Living the Legacy Breakfast, which is just this wonderful event. It's so moving. And I was more than honored to be the keynote, but what I didn't know at the time was that they had planned a little surprise for me and my family. And halfway through my presentation, my family and I got a videotaped message, a thank you message from Lubel and her family about how we had changed their lives.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can tell you, I am a crier, and I was bawling on stage.
It was beautiful.
It took everything to keep myself together. And so very soon thereafter, Lubel graduated and went off into college in her town. And we felt a sense of loss. And we had asked if her youngest sister needed a sponsor, and in fact she did. And so we went on to sponsor Leanne, who is now 10. And
that's so exciting, and how wonderful to stay with the family like that. And you've actually had some personal interaction with them, haven't you?
We have, and I hope it wasn't a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me, but just this past February, my daughter, our daughter Gianna, and I traveled with Pearl S. Buck International over to the Philippines on a cultural tour, and somewhat of a mission in that we were there as ambassadors to really witness the difference that one person can make and many people are making. And we got to meet them and spend some time with them, and it was, it's really hard to put into words how moving the experience was.
Well, I understand, if I remember you telling me the story, the girls bonded, didn't they?
Absolutely. It was instantaneous. Gianna and I were we were actually frightened and intimidated and scared about what the experience was going to be. Are they going to like us? Are we going to get along? Is there going to be a language barrier? And we no sooner walked across their tiny little threshold that we were all in a joint embrace and just crying as if we had known each other a lifetime. And the girls automatically started calling each other sister, and they were, you know, braiding each other's hair and holding hands and just... You can't make that up. You can't make that happen. It just did. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I cried leaving. I just felt terrible leaving, not knowing if we'd ever see them again.
Well, I'm sure your continued support is extremely important to the family, and especially now that their father is gone.
Well, you know, it's not only important to the family, it's important to us. And I think that's what people, we tend to forget how much we get out of what we do for others. And that's something the Filipinos embrace, is that they actually know that you're enriched personally and spiritually by helping them empower themselves. And that's really something that I think we tend to forget when we give to others how much we get out of it.
There's almost nothing that brings more true, deep joy than knowing that you have made better the life of another human being.
But it's not just one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't mean that we sponsor two young ladies. I mean that by helping one person with education who can then become an income winner in their family when perhaps their moms never had the opportunity to learn a trade or to get educated, you're helping the whole family because the dollar goes so much further there. Every dollar they bring into their home, they're helping bring their families out of abject poverty. And I saw that through some of the former Pearl Buck sponsor children who are now young adults who are also working for Pearl Buck in the Philippines. And it's amazing. I mean, it's just an amazing journey.
Well, it really is like dropping a pebble in a pond, and those ripples just keep going out, and they go out into the family, and then they go out into the village, and then they go out into the region. It's a tremendous impact.
It really is. It was to witness it firsthand, to see how a former sponsor child who now has an education is now helping to educate other children, and now a breadwinner in their own family. It's amazing. I was left with a sense of amazement about the world and wondering how much more we can do to make change.
We were talking in the previous segment before you joined us, Gina, about how valuable sponsorship is and this cultural interaction is to our children here in the U.S. And you seem to really be verifying that thought, because it seems that your daughter got so much out of it.
I think she got more out of it than she could possibly, that she'll ever really know, and that I can ever, I don't know that I'll ever know the full impact of how it changed her life. But I can tell you, just landing in Manila, and we talk about poverty here in the United States, and I've never seen the depth and breadth of poverty, abject poverty, to the extent that we saw there. And it's, you, most of these kids don't have beds to sleep in.
Yeah, they sleep on the floor.
They do. They sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, we don't even think about that here.
Mm-hmm.
No electricity, mm-hmm. having to walk, you know, 2 miles every day to get the food for your family and back mm-hmm. again.
Mm-hmm. Or watching them bathe their children with a hose outside the house in buckets.
Mm-hmm. No shoes. Mm-hmm. How many children did you see walking around with bare feet?
All mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's just...
You know, no health care. You know, I kept thinking that had I given birth there, because I did not have easy pregnancies, I would not be here.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have survived it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, there's so much we take for granted here that, you know, even a pair of flip-flops there are just so treasured.
Mm-hmm. It's really is hard to imagine in our Western culture what a great portion of the rest of the world lives like. And I think we want to emphasize again that for $1 a day, you can change a child's life and therefore change their family's life and perhaps influence the entire village or town that they live in. And I think that's a really important lesson for all of us to take away from this program today.
Absolutely. I mean, think about $1 a day. I don't even think you could buy a candy bar anymore for $1 a day.
Right.
Or
a fancy latte, certainly, for $1 a day.
Right. And you are. You're changing. You're not just changing one life by helping them stay in school and get educated. And you're also enriching yourself.
I think that's a really important point, Gina, because I too have worked overseas and have seen, you know, just abject poverty and really tough conditions, and you come away with this sense of I've really, really made a difference. And I think that's such an important it does change your life. It changes the way you look at the world.
It does.
Well, Gina, I want to thank you very much for sharing your story and your passion with us this evening. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Gina, we all appreciate you so much.
Well, we appreciate you, Janet, and everything Pearl Buck does.
We're going to pause for just a moment for station ID, and when we return, we'll be joined by Julie Henning, who knew Pearl Buck as few others did. She knew her as her mother. This is WDIY Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to our last segment of Lehigh Valley Discourse, where we're discussing the work of Pearl S. Buck International with President and CEO Janet Mincer and Chief Marketing Officer Linda Bishop, both of whom are in the studio. And now joining us by phone is Julie Henning, whose life was forever changed by Pearl S. Buck, the woman and the organization. Welcome, Julie. It's so nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It is my delight to be with you.
Julie, you have quite a dramatic life story. I mean, it's really movie material. Could you start with your life in Korea and tell us how Pearl Buck, both the woman and the organization, entered your life?
Yes. My mother escaped North Korea and was married to a South Korean man. But during the Korean War, he was killed. And soon after that, my half-sister died of malnutrition at the age of 2. And my mom, not being able to support herself, she started working at a coffee house. And there she met my father, who was an American GI. My mother and my father were not married, but he supported us. But as I was growing up in Korea, having the American father and Korean mother of a mixed blood, I was quite discriminated and ridiculed and despised by my motherland. And when it was time for me to enter school, well, the Koreans at that time provided free education up to sixth grade, but seventh grade on up, you had to pay for the tuition, purchase the uniforms, the textbooks, the whole works, and there was just no way I could continue my education. And at that time, a social worker from Pearl Esbach Foundation, which is now Pearl Esbach International, came to our house in search of mixed-race child like myself. And so at the age of 13, I left my mom, the only person in the whole wide world that who loved me, and I went to Pearl Esbach Opportunity Center in Sosa, Korea. And there I was able to be sponsored by a person from Pearl Esbach Foundation. And I was able to go to school. And my mom and I, we were so very thankful that I was receiving an education. And then one day while I was in school, I received a telegram saying that my mother has passed away. Mm. And so it was quite a difficult time. And from then on, I was a complete orphan. I had no distant relative I could call mine. And here, I just devoted myself to study very hard because I thought perhaps in education that I might receive some kind of future. And so I worked very hard. And when I did very well in school, this caught the attention of the director of the Pearl Esbach Foundation in Korea, Mr. Amos. He wrote a letter to Pearl Buck informing about me. And when Pearl Buck met with me, and she asked me how would I like to come to America to live with her as her daughter. Like a Cinderella story.
Oh, my goodness. That is a Cinderella story. That is like having a fairy godmother.
Yes. I was just so very thankful. So at that time, I lost my mom, and so I was so thankful to have another mom. And at that time, mother really put a lot of emphasis on education because she felt that through education, that people could overcome prejudice.
Well, you had a very normal American high school experience, didn't you? You went to Penn Ridge High School, which many of our listeners will know. And you told me that it was really wonderful because you'd be able to bring children home for swimming parties, and you lived in this beautiful place and had a wonderful mother. So it must have been just like waking up in a dream.
It really was, Pam. I just could not believe all the blessings that was given to me at that time. It was really wonderful. I even, you know, many times I was even driven to, Penn Ridge High School in a limo. But I, at that time, I always preferred going to school on a bus because my friends were there, you know. But it was a wonderful time.
Yes,
and I'm so thankful.
You told me that all the cute boys rode the bus, too.
Yes, they were. I was trying to be nice. yes.
So this fairy tale, though, did have a little bit of a twist in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because you lost her.
Well, after when I was about 18 years old, my second mother, who I dearly loved, passed away. And it was very, very difficult time of my life. I felt though as I was standing on a piece of area rug and somebody just came and yanked just underneath my feet. And yes, it was a very, very difficult time.
So tell us, after Pearl Buck passed away, what did you do? What happened to you?
Well, at the time also I found out that I was not legally adopted. Here I thought all along that I was adopted by her, but then I found out I was not. And then there was another couple in Telford. They weren't able to have a child of their own, and they always believed and prayed that someday God would send them a child. And this couple, who never had a child of their own, adopted me when I was 19 years old.
That is just the most amazing story, Julie.
Really is. It seems like, well, I shouldn't say it seems like. The life was very difficult, but I am very thankful to God as well that there was always somebody was taking care of me.
You have had three mothers who have loved you.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. It's many people cannot say that, and I've been so very blessed. I think when they adopt them into your heart, you are truly born of their heart, which is really awesome.
Yes.
And I tell you, if Pearl Buck didn't bring me to United States, I don't know where I would be. And so I am very forever grateful.
Well, you have built upon that legacy of love, and you have a wonderful life. Tell us of what you've done. I know you've a longtime teacher and a wife and a mother.
Yes. So ever since I've been married, I am really blessed with a very loving, godly husband. And we have two wonderful sons, and I have two lovely daughter-in-laws who are daughters of my heart. And then I have the most adorable five grandchildren who are all boys. So I call them my fabulous five. And I've been so blessed to teach in a Saddleton area school district as a math teacher for past 25 years. And I just recently retired in 2016. And then my husband used to teach with me, but he left teaching 9 years ago to be a full-time pastor. And now I am so privileged and honored to serve people of our church with my husband and as a being a pastor's wife. And what blessing that has been in my life. So thankful.
Well, you have also, along with serving your church community, and serving your community as a teacher, you are also involved with Pearl S. Buck International.
Yes, I am. Because I was so blessed by all the things that they have made it possible for me, I really, really want to be part of letting know Mother's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, she was just an incredible woman. If I may tell you this story, that Mother said to me a long time ago, when she was visiting Korea, while she was walking on the street of South Korea, she felt a tug by a blue-eyed Korean-speaking boy in a ragged clothes. And that is when she learned of the plight of mixed-race children. And when she returned to America, she used her writing, she used her influence, she used her money, and she established Pearl S. Buck Foundation in six different Asian countries. And her purpose at that time was to make sure this mixed race, she mother used to call them Amerasian, American Asian, Amerasian, to be educated and that they will become productive citizens in their mother countries. And mother also, she opened the window of American people to understand Asian people. And she truly was a woman before her time. She just was an incredible woman. Well, anyway, because I want her legacy to be known, so while I was teaching at Satterton Area School District, I used to bring my students, around 130 to 150 of them, to the house, Pearl Buck House, and we will go to the tour. But prior to it, I will share with them what Pearl Buck has done in my life and what she has done to continue to help the, you know, children worldwide. So I felt that if we don't let young people know of what she has done, it's like a one bridge away from extinction. So I felt in my small way that I could do that. I also been interviewed by some television stations or the radio. And then I also had a great honor to go to Korea to present Pearl S. Buck Woman of the Year Award with my husband. And what a pleasure that was. By the way, Pamela, congratulations on that you'll be receiving that award. I think it's next Thursday. Well, and congratulations to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so...
Julie, we're almost out of time. Can you summarize your trip to Korea for us? Because it really is, I think, an important part of your story, the experience you had, and we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Sure. It was my first time returned to Korea, and you cannot even imagine the emotions I was having as I touched that Korean soil. But what was so incredible was this. Prior to this, some of the people were asking me whether I would share my life testimony. And at that time, I needed another message to share. And when I went to Korea, I was able to find my record. Here, my mother dropped me off at Holt Adoption Agency at least twice to be adopted. And here, I never knew of it. And prior to this, I did not even have a picture of myself, anything younger than 11 years of age. And here, they found the record of me when I was 4. And would you believe, Pamela, this paper said that I was a white girl.
Oh, my goodness.
And then upper left corner was an address of a couple that who lived in Pennsylvania who was about to adopt me. But my mother could not allow me to be adopted, so she went and kidnapped me away.
Oh, she couldn't give you up. She loved you too much.
But may I add one more thing here?
Yes.
But isn't this incredible where the person who was discriminated because that I was half American, and God made it all possible for me to go and present the award to the First Lady of the land?
That's just amazing. What a journey.
Isn't it? I mean, I really felt though as only God could have orchestrated that, and he sure does have a flair for
yes, yes.
dramatics.
It's bringing the circle around.
Yes. Oh, another thing, guess what?
What?
My husband and I, we've been sponsoring children through Pearl S. Buck International.
Oh, that is really the completion of the circle.
It sure is. And you know, it was so wonderful when it was a few years ago, one of the child that we were sponsoring was invited to America through Heinz Ward, and we were able to go to Pittsburgh and reunite with her, and it was just a wonderful time. And it's so wonderful what Paul Esbach International is doing for the children and to the community, and leaving, you know, making sure the mother's legacy to continue. And I cannot thank you enough for what Janet and Tony, and I know that Linda is there, so thank you very much for all they are doing.
Julie, thank you for being with us this evening. We really appreciate it. I just want to say, Janet, thank you so much to you. Linda, thank you so much to you. This has been inspirational, informative, and I'm sure our listeners will know a lot more about Pearl Esbach International after this program and will hopefully be very inclined to support the organization. I do want to thank my guests, Janet Mincer, CEO, and Linda Bishop, Chief Marketing Officer, along with attorney Gina Rubel and teacher Julie Henning, who just joined us by phone. We hope you've enjoyed tonight's program, our WDIY listeners, and we invite you to join us on May 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. at Lehigh Country Club in Allentown to celebrate the wonderful work of Pearl Esbach International and the Woman of Influence Award, psbi.org/Lehigh Valley Celebration. Thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. I'm Pamela Varconi. Good night.